السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ رب العالمین، والصلاۃ والسلام علی سید الانبیاء والمرسلین صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ واتباعہ اجمعین. علماء کرام، موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز اینڈ موسٹ سسٹرز لسننگ اوور دی ریسیورز، Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has spread the risk and sustenance of a person in different places. A person does not know what he is going to eat, where he is going to eat, and how much he is going to eat, and at what time he is going to eat, and what will be the consequences of that which he eats. That is the risk of a person. It is just like the birds that leave from their nests. They leave from their nests not knowing where the risk and sustenance will be found. Sometimes they leave from their nest, they just go down the tree and they find the risk and sustenance there. Some people came into the park and they had their picnic there. And they left behind some crumbs or some pieces of bread or something else. And these birds, they find the risk and sustenance so easily just down the tree. And some birds will have to travel a little distance. After a little distance of travel, then they will find the risk and sustenance outside some shop or in some garden or in some park. Or on some pavement. Allah Ta'ala knows where the risk of that bird is. If we go to Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Tayyiba, we see so many pigeons that are there. And some Haji Sahib that has come from South Africa, from China, from Japan, or from some other part of the world. Now this Haji Sahib, he gives some money to those people that feed the pigeons, and they feed the pigeons. Those pigeons know that they will get their food right there in the courtyard or outside the Haram Sharif or somewhere around those places where they are normally given those grains to eat. So this is one issue which seems to be really affecting the Ummah at large throughout the globe. That in the search of livelihood and sustenance, we are unconcerned whether it is coming through halal means and halal sources and halal avenues, or it is coming through haram means and haram sources and haram avenues. We truly believe that risk and sustenance is dependent on our hard work and effort. There is no doubt we are living in a world of means. This we have acknowledged and we are quite aware of it. And every person says it too, that we are living in a world of means. So therefore we have to adopt the means. But as I just explained to you, that all these birds, the only means that they adopted was that they left their nests. That's all. They just left their nests and they flew for a little distance, or sometimes not even much, and they found their risk and sustenance. So who is the one that is providing to the creatures? Who is the one that is providing to the ants? Who is the one that is providing to the elephants in the jungles? Can we take sufficient amount of food and feed those elephants? If human beings get together and say that we are going to take charge of all the animals in the jungles and all the creatures, can we ever do so? So that Allah Ta'ala who has provided in the stomach of the mother. Look at the stomach of the mother, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provided. Risk and sustenance. And what kind of risk and sustenance? That menstrual blood, which was totally filth, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made that a means of nourishment of that baby in the mother's stomach. To make insan use his aqal and think that Allah ta'ala who can cause such kind of chemical changes, we talk about chemical changes, the science today, look at what they do through chemistry. So much of chemical changes are brought about in different things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that look at the chemical change that He brings about, that He nourishes that child. That which was supposed to be death for the human being. If a human being has to drink that kind of filth, he's going to die. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made the same thing a means of His nourishment. That child is growing, and not only growing, but turning out to be a very, very pretty or handsome or beautiful child. And everything is being formed. The limbs are being formed. The heart, liver and lungs are being formed. The eyes, the ears, everything is being nourished with that same blood. And then when the child comes into this world, again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows His power and His qudrat and shows what kind of chemistry or what kind of chemical changes Allah ta'ala can bring. That mother's milk, which was blood, now becomes milk. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provides nourishment for the child. So after having shown to us over a period of 9 months what kind of nourishment Allah Ta'ala gave and what kind of provision He gave and what kind of sustenance He gave with His qudrat, with His power, with His might, nobody had a hand in it. Nobody had a hand in it, in the formation of all these limbs and parts of the body. Now when the child comes into the world again, which person is there that can say that I am the one, or can the mother say that I am the one that converted the blood to milk? Can the mother say that I had a hand in it? Can the mother say that I had a hand in the development of the child in my stomach? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one showing to us that this risk and sustenance, there is no need to have a rat race and a chase of such a kind that the person just ignores all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of whether it is coming through truthful means or dishonest means, whether it's coming through the casinos, or whether it is coming through interest taking and giving, or whether it is coming through false kinds of statements that the person makes at the time of sale of articles. We are noticing these type of things in Makkah, Mukarrama, Madina, Tayyiba. People are talking about how they are being taken for a ride by hajis that are coming there, hujjaj that are coming there to make hajj, and how they take those people for a ride. Many of them are cheated and deceived, and yet they are there for hajj. So all this is because we believe that sustenance and risk is something that we are the one that are producing. Whereas if we have our yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, then we will make some effort. It is a world of means, so we are told to make some effort. Although Allah Ta'ala has the power to even feed and nourish without any effort. Therefore Allah Ta'ala showed it. In the mother's stomach, Allah Ta'ala showed how He nourishes. But this, when we come into this world, now it becomes a world of means. So therefore, just like how that mother, the only thing she was doing is eating some food. And that food again too was provided by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala brought about all the chemical changes and everything else and nourished the child. So in the same way in this world, that little bit of effort that is necessary, but the kind of mad race and chase that is around the globe. Go to the airports of the world. Go to Makkah, Mukarrama, Madina, Tayyiba. Namazes has taken a second place now in the life of many of those people. In fact, they are demanding from their employees that you should try and make your namaz just outside the buildings. Even though it may be far away from the Haram Sharif, but many of them are told just they must make it outside their buildings. So that you can just finish, make assalamu alaikum rahmatullah and be back in the business. Now this is showing clearly that we have forgotten who is our raziq and who is our razzaq and who is our provider. Who is our sustainer. Therefore one hadith sharif comes to mind now, which I mentioned and I think I discussed at length in the month of Ramadan. In which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that the person who gets four things. He gets four things in his life. So then he must not grieve over loss of anything else. In other words, this person must not think that I am deprived now of great worldly benefits if he has been blessed with four things. Because all of us are looking at those who are higher than us when it comes to material things. And then we feel very, very disappointed and rejected and very dejected. We believe that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has forsaken us because we are looking at what other people have got. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala, he says, when I befriended the very rich, in his early days he was a very different person. Afterwards he changed his life and became a great muhaddith, a great commentator of Hadith Sharif and a very, very great waliullah. And great amount of has been written upon on him, on his life. But that is a different subject. But those days when he was in his heydays, as we may say, he says, at that time I was always in grief. There was always some kind of grief and sorrow in my heart. Because if I purchased something extremely, or something that was extremely beautiful or very, very expensive, then there was always somebody who was ready to buy something better than that. And the moment I saw what he has got, again there was some kind of sorrow that came in my heart, that this person beat me to the draw, as we say. Because he's always looking at the person who has been blessed with little more in material things. So therefore there will always be this grief in the heart. Or sometimes there will be jealousy, that why has this person been given this and I don't have it. Therefore Nabi alayhi salam, but he says after that when I started befriending the average person, the poor person, so then I started increasing my shukr and I began to appreciate what I have got. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed it to me that how much more I have been blessed with. As a Shaykh Saadi rahmatullah alayhi, he says, I was in Baghdad and then I went to one of the masjids there. And I was complaining to my father about shoes, that I don't have shoes, I don't have shoes. But when I went there, I saw a person coming out from the masjid without feet, no legs. His legs were amputated. So he said, at that time I realized that what a great ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with, that at least I have feet, I have legs, and this person doesn't even have that. What is it that I'm complaining so much about no shoes? If Allah Ta'ala gives and provides, we don't say that he must walk bare feet. But what I'm saying is that the appreciation will come when we look at those people who have not been blessed with that much which we have. I've mentioned this many times, that the person who is deaf, then he will always have somebody that's deaf and dumb. And that person will have somebody around that will be deaf, dumb and blind. The person who has one hand, there'll always be somebody who does not have two hands. And the person who has one leg, there will be somebody around who does not have both feet. The person who is suffering from just heart problem, there will be somebody suffering from heart, liver and lung problem. There will always be somebody who will be in more difficulty than the person himself. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's whole Quran Sharif and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings are there to inform us that how we should develop inside our hearts contentment and satisfaction over that which has been given to us. It does not say that you must not make progress or you must not try to achieve more. It does not say that. If the person has got good niyat, good intentions, that he wants to earn more, he wants to have more, so that he may be able to do more good works and good deeds, so that he can help more poor people, more destitute, more orphans, so that person can do more deen work, so that he can assist in all good causes after having supported his wife, children, and those people whose responsibilities are upon him. Or after having made use of the ni'mat for himself and family, he's also using in other good causes. So nothing wrong with that. The person can be multimillionaire and he can be a waliullah. But where the person breaks the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for everything becomes nothing but greed. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam therefore mentions, he says that the person who has been blessed with four things, then it does not matter if it is not given anything else of this dunya. I discussed this at length, there's no time now. But of those four things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, he says, first thing there is that the person is blessed with trustworthiness. That the person is trustworthy. If the person is not trustworthy and has got everything in the world, then it is as if he has got nothing. The person must be trustworthy. So whether it is in business, whether it is in the home, whether it is in his relationship with his wife, children and family, whether it is in his relationship with his friends, in everything there must be trustworthiness. The Muslim is only a person who has got trustworthiness. If he hasn't got trustworthiness, then it is as if he doesn't have iman. The person who is not trustworthy, it is as if he does not have iman. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that first quality, if a person possesses trustworthiness, then he must not grieve that I don't have this, I don't have that. And the second quality that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned was truthfulness. One is to be trustworthy and one is to be truthful. Trustworthy, any kind of amanat, whatever kind of amanat that may be, whatever kind of trust that may be. The person has been appointed an executor, the person has been appointed as a trustee, the person has been appointed as an ameen over something. So now this person, to fulfill the obligation, to fulfill the terms of the trust, recently there had been an investigation in all this awqaf, the trust properties that were in Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif. And they came to realize that millions of and millions of riyals worth of trust properties have been eaten up, they have been devoured, and some judges were even involved. And some other very prominent people were involved. So now right in this holy cities, if you are going to have corruption of that kind. So trustworthiness, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam established trustworthiness in the whole ummah. And then together with that is truthfulness. So trustworthiness is where is amanat, you are in charge of that amanat. And lots of other things that go with it. And here now is truthfulness, that the person in his speech, he is truthful. In everything he is truthful. Nobody is giving him any kind of amanat and trust to keep, but he is truthful in his speech. That the person is not leading a dual life. He does not have two images. He is truthful in his outside and in his inside. His outside image must not portray piety and taqwa and great amount of closeness to Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Whereas inside the heart there is nothing but pride and arrogance and jealousy and malice and greed. And dishonesty and everything else is in the heart. The person, he has been overcome by his passions and desires, his evil passions and desires. Therefore, in the secrecy and privacy of his home and room and hotels, thereafter he watches all the porn sites and all the filthy films. And as soon as he comes outside, then he pretends as if he is the waliullah of the time. So who are we cheating and who are we deceiving? So truthfulness, sadaqat, I have mentioned this many times, in our zahir and in our batin. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned out of the 9 things which we discussed in detail, that the first thing my Rabb ordered me, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I must fear my Allah in public and in private. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not going to do anything that was wrong. He was masoom, he was sinless. So it was actually for us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that truthfulness in speech, the person has got truthfulness. Then his akhlaq and his character is good. And this is what we were discussing before I left. Akhlaq and character. A for adab, A for akhlaq, A for amal, A for ashik of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. A for abid, worship of Allah and his Nabi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now all that, so akhlaq, the person has got akhlaq. His character is good. His character is good. His dealings are good. His relationship with people is good. His approach to people is good. He does not have racism in him. He does not have prejudices in him. Person can be of any color. He can be from any city, from any country, or of any language. The only thing that he looks at is that he's a Muslim and therefore I must make salam to him. He doesn't look at his color and make salam. He doesn't look at his wealth and make salam. He doesn't look at the friendship and make salam. Can be anybody, the person makes salam. And his dealings must be straight. Akhlaq of the person, his character must be sound. And then to go quickly on to the fourth point, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and the person's means of livelihood must be pure. Then that is what we were discussing. That is where we started off. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has distributed, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has distributed the risk of person in different places. He does not know. It is beyond his imagination sometimes what he eats, where he eats. He had no plan of going to a certain place and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes him there. We were sitting in Madinah Sharif on the last trip or the one before that, and a person comes and he comes with some mangoes. I don't know him from anywhere. He comes from with some mangoes. And he says that, well, he picked up some talks and bayans and speeches on the internet. And he was really looking forward to meeting me. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes us meet in Madinah Sharif. and he came from London. And then he came with those mangoes. And then he tells me that these mangoes, we have some farms in India, and these are very beautiful mangoes that grow there on that farm in India. And whenever that product or that produce is sent, it is export for export. So we get a few boxes sent to us in London also from the family. So we were coming to Madina Sharif, so we brought these mangoes and came. So we want you to enjoy one mango also. So I said, look at this risk, how it follows a person. I come from South Africa, you come from London, and the mangoes came from India to London, and from London you bring it to Madina Sharif, and we sit here and we eat the mangoes. That's risk and sustenance. Sitting in one of the dastarkhans in New York, and the person says, Maulana, this fish is from Bangladesh, and it is one of a special kind of fish that comes all the way from Bangladesh. Now where is New York, where is Bangladesh, and I go from here for some programs, and we are eating this fish in New York. Like that, each and every one of us has got such kind of experiences. That we suddenly get a call that somebody has passed away in Johannesburg, or somebody has passed away, or there's a wedding, or there's a marriage that's taking place in Cape Town. Now this person travels from Durban to Cape Town. He travels from Durban to Johannesburg. A person from some other part of the world travels to South Africa. And then the dastarkhan, the type of food that is placed there, the person eats. It is his risk. It follows him like death. Allah wa inna nafs, we always hear in the khutbah, the person will never die. Hatta tastakmila rizqaha, until he has completed his risk. Even the breathing that a person has, there is a risk. There's a fixed amount that the person will have of breaths also in this life. Therefore, it has been mentioned that towards the latter part of, or towards Sakarat, when the person is in Sakarat, then his breathing is very quick and fast. And one of the points that has been mentioned is that how much breaths Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has destined for him as a sustenance in this world. He will complete that before he leaves this world. So risk follows a person. Then what is the need to be greedy? What is the need to have hasad and jealousy? What is the need to break the laws and commands of Allah Ta'ala with regards to salat, with regards to zakat, with regards to honesty in trade, with regards to uprightness and truthfulness in speech? What is the need for all that? Why should it affect our visiting the sick and fulfilling the rights of our wives and our children and families? Why should we make it a 7-to-7 kind of thing, 7 days a week? Why should we do that when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made it easy that you make a little effort in this world? And I will provide for you, just as I provided for you in your mother's stomach, and just as I provided for you when you came into this world by converting that blood into milk. So risk and sustenance. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the fourth thing is risk and sustenance, if it halal means of livelihood. Then this person must not grieve that I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have that. It is as if he's got the whole world with him. Because through these means now which he has got, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him plentiful of halal risk and livelihood. So this is something we see it throughout the world now. It is a trend that every person says that, is it not important that we should earn our livelihood? Yes, definitely it is important. But who is the provider of that livelihood? It is he who is saying, make your namaz on time. It is his order, his command, gives zakat if it is due. It is his order, then trade, but let it be honest. There must be no cheating, no deceiving, no hiding faults in the garments or articles. There must be truthfulness. Then inshallah we'll see barakat. Then in that little, Allah Ta'ala gives so much of barakat, so much of barakat. Ask those people who have had some experience, how much of barakat Allah gives. It's not just plentiful. Plentiful is not barakat. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me that kind of yaqeen in him being the provider of our sustenance, and the yaqeen that he is our sustainer, he is our razzaq, he is the razzaq. And if we are obedient to him and obedient to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah Ta'ala will give us a life of happiness, peace, contentment, satisfaction, a kind of inner joy and happiness which cannot be expressed in words. I conclude on the same saying of Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, which really, really inspires me. He says that when the fragrance of the muhabbat and the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes into my heart, then vocabulary of the languages of the world fail to put a description to that enjoyment and that ecstasy and that happiness that I experience within myself. So that is not only for Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah, it is for each and every one of us. All we need is a few steps towards Allah Tabarakwata. Just make some himmat, take some courage to just distance ourselves from that which is sinful, that it is haram, that which is shameless, indecent and obscene. Bring truthfulness, honesty, trustworthiness in our lives, and then see what Allah Tabarakwata gives in the hearts. May Allah Ta'ala bless me also with it. And bless you and the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of mankind around the globe, and especially the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There's droughts, there's famines, there's floods, there's earthquakes, there's disasters of all kinds striking, but we are not prepared to get up from our slumber and sleep. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.